Listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Welcome to Guerrilla Radio, recorded April 7th and 15th, 2026. While Palestinians, both in Palestine and those among the diaspora and their allies, observed Palestine Land Day March 30th. It was the 50th commemoration of the 1976 murder of six people protesting the state theft of land in Galilee. Israel chose the same day to pass in its Knesset the death penalty for terrorists law, an infamous one-sided statute codifying capital punishment for some while providing only limited recourse to appeal or commutation. Worse, the gallows law is expected to apply equally to Palestinian children. Hannah Kawas is chairperson of Vancouver's Canada Palestine Association. He's too a longtime radio journalist whose program Voice of Palestine had been a beacon for the city's diaspora community and others facing both Canadian state repression and media marginalization. Hannah and the CPA will be front and center this Friday, April 17th in Vancouver at Creekside Park for Palestinian Prisoners Day. Hannah Kawas in the first half. And last week I sat down for an extended interview with John Helmer. We covered the Iranian resistance to America and Western belligerence, Russia's role and reaction to that, and the release of John's new book, The Coroner is Guilty. John's a journalist and author who spent decades living in and reporting from Russia. He's the principal behind the web news site Dances with Bears and has, as well as serving as advisor to governments at the highest level, too been a professor of political science, sociology, and journalism. Among his many book titles are The Man Who Knows Too Much About Russia, Sovcom Plot, How Pirates Tried to Capture the Treasure of the Russian Seas and Were Caught Out, and Long Live Novichok, the British poison which fooled the world. Global Chaos Part 2 with John Helmer in the second half. But first, Hannah Kawas and remembering the hostages held by Israel on Palestinian Prisoners Day. Welcome back to the program, Hannah.
Thank you for inviting me again. Thanks.
Well, it's my great pleasure, of course. Now, Hannah, whether by design or the vagaries of the news cycle, the plight of Palestine seems to have fallen into the shade of recent events in Iran, especially. What are you hearing about the current situation in the West Bank and Gaza from your friends and relatives in Palestine?
Yeah, the situation is really dire. Just yesterday in Gaza, they killed 11 people. Two of them children, and the toll of murdering Palestinians and the toll of the genocide is over 72,000 people. 21,000 of them are children. So the ceasefire declared by Trump is a joke, really. There is a ceasefire from the Palestinian side, but not from the Israeli side, never stopped the killing machine in Gaza. As for the West Bank, you know, it is also terrible situation. They already confiscated one third of the Palestinian land in the West Bank. It's 2 million dunams, which equals half a million of acres. And considering the West Bank, total area of the West Bank is just 5.65 million dunams. So that's, they confiscated one third of the total area of the West Bank. So to talk about a Palestinian state on the West Bank is really a joke of the century, you know. When they control more than one third of the land. Also, the murder continues. Last month, they killed two brothers in a town beside Nablus, the settlers, and they are on a rampage. They're killing, you know, with the support of the, again, the Israeli army. The killing continues nonstop, and the situation, they burn land, they trying to ethnically cleanse the Palestinians again from their towns and villages. That's the objective of the Netanyahu government now, is to try to ethnically cleanse the rest of the of Palestine, especially in the West Bank. And Gaza, they tried, they succeeded to a certain degree, but they still have this vision of building greater Israel. Also, you know, limiting the religious freedom, like just one example, and on Easter, on the Catholic Easter, they won't allow even the Archbishop to do prayers in the Holy Sepulchre Church, let alone allowing people to go to the to pray in the Holy Sepulchre, which is, you know, usually every year. This is unprecedented, really. This year, they won't allow anybody to go to Holy Sepulchre Church. So, you know, oppression on all fronts continue. The burning of crops for Palestinians, chopping trees, over 1 million olive trees already been destroyed by settlers and by the Israeli military. 1 million, you know. Imagine the damage they are doing to the Palestinian economy and Palestinian agriculture. You know, and, you know, the so-called Western civilization is watching. And when we resist, they call us terrorists, and they put the Palestinian resistance groups on the terrorist list, like here in Canada, you know. Not just people who are resisting, people who are defending Palestinian prisoners are put on the terrorist list, like Sami Doun, for example, which is outrageous, really. If you support Palestinian prisoners, then you are a terrorist, you know. Shows you the complicity of the Canadian government in this settler colonialist project that's called Zionism, this supremacist ideology that really... But again, you know, I mean, white supremacism, we witness it here in on Turtle Island. And, you know, they have shared values, as Mr. Trudeau always tells us. He has shared values with Israel. This is the kind of shared values they have, racist, supremacist, settler colonialism.
And as Eve Engler, and we've talked about this before, points out that the Canadian complicity in the creation and administration of Israel goes back more than a century. When you talk, Hannah, about the ceasefire being broken by Israel, there's other ceasefires, and just not to confuse people, the ceasefire in Gaza has been ongoing for months now, and was broken, I think, by Israel within hours of its enactment, and has been regularly broached ever since. I don't know that it means anything on that side.
Yeah. I mean, they never stopped, really. I mean, maybe it's not on a larger scale, the bombing but they still, you know, hitting civilian centers. They still demolishing homes in Gaza and in the whole strip, actually. When they have a chance, they demolish homes Their objective is really to force population to leave Gaza, ethnic cleansing, because of the Greater Israel project, that they are admitting it publicly now. Netanyahu is admitting it, that so-called war minister of the U.S. saying, you know, that Israel has a historic right in Greater Israel, you know.
Well, it's pretty hard to deny. 2.5 years in now. I mean, I find it hard to imagine anything is left standing in Gaza. But and you mentioned the pogroms in the West Bank. There was a drop site news reports that 34 new settlements were announced on Palestine Land Day, as well as the Israeli government recognizing 69 settlements retroactively. That is like 69 places that these so-called settlers move in, displace people, take their land, clear their land, steal their animals, kill the people on the land, or injure them, arrest them. And now the government rewards that behavior by retroactively recognizing 69 of those settlements in a fell swoop.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's their objective, is to increase the borders to reach from the Nile to the Euphrates. And, you know, as I said, they already confiscated over one third of the area of the West Bank, including area A and B and C, you know. So this so-called Palestinian state is really is the joke of the century, because Israel is expanding, and you know, they showed their, I mean, these fascists don't hide their intention, whether Smotrich or Netanyahu or Ben Gavir, they publicly saying, you know, they want to expand the border into the Litani River, for example, you know, and they wanted to attack Lebanon before the war on Iran started. You know, they showed their intention that they want to go all the way to the Litani River. So they are expanding. That's the, you know, original ideology of Zionism, that Israel is from the Nile to the Euphrates. The older generation of Israelis, the older leaders of the Israeli used to deny that. Now they're saying it publicly, and even Trump saying Israel is a small place, they need to expand, you know.
It's amazing with Trump's Christian base in the United States. You mentioned that the closure over Easter of the Church of the Sepulchre, and that the denial of access even to the Cardinal Pizzaballi, Bala, yeah, rather, and also the closure of Al-Aqsa throughout the entirety of Ramadan. And I think this is the first time that that's happened.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, fascism is for you to see, you know, televised, basically. And they're not ashamed of themselves. And those who are supporting them, whether Trump or the Canadian government, are not ashamed of themselves. They issue token, you know, statements, but really they are supporting them, like the parliament here won't even close a loophole. We're sending arms to Israel through the U.S. is illegal, you know. I mean, they voted against that loophole in the parliament. So that tells you that Canada is in full support of Israeli genocide and Israeli aggression and expansion.
As I mentioned, it's been 2.5 years in Gaza now of this full-on military assault. I'm not even sure that if somebody's keeping count of the thousands and thousands of bombs and hundreds of thousands of bullets and everything that have been rained down on the people of Gaza. Yeah. You wonder how on earth could that kind of rate be maintained, just in an armament sense, especially considering the other wars going on concurrently. And as you mentioned, well, how that happens is allies like Canada, yeah, supply the explosives and the bullets and the components for that war machine.
Yeah, actually, there is an estimate of the tonnage that they dropped on Gaza. It equals the lowest estimate is 6 Hiroshima bombs, nuclear bombs, and the highest is 8 Hiroshima bombs. So you could imagine the devastation they inflicted on Gaza and on the Gazan people and the Palestinian people living in Gaza.
Well, no, I can't. I admit I can't. Even after seeing the pictures, it seems impossible to me. And when we know that more people are killed by bullets than bombs, and all the millions of bullets that must have been fired from these drones and from these godless snipers and everything else, I can't honestly imagine it. It's just beyond the pale. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Hannah Kawas. Hannah is chairperson of Vancouver's Canada-Palestine Association. He's too a longtime radio journalist whose program Voice of Palestine had been a beacon for the city's diaspora community and others facing both Canadian state repression and media marginalization. We're speaking today in and around Palestine Prisoners Day. There's going to be, Hannah, a demonstration in Vancouver. You and the CPA are going to be central. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I think really the prisoner situation is dire. And, you know, they legalize now the murder of Palestinian prisoners in their Knesset. But they've been doing it all along, you know. They've been doing it in the front. When they arrest people, they just shoot them and kill them. And inside the prison, over 90 people being killed inside the prison from torture and from, you know, medical neglect, etc. I believe the number is 97 even. So, you know, the situation is really dire for the Palestinian prisoners. And again, if you defend Palestinian prisoners, like I said in the case of Sami Doun, you are put on the terrorist list by this, I don't know what kind of government is it. I would call it, if you're supporting genocide, you are a fascist country. So I would say by this fascist country, that's called Canada. And it's coming, you know, it's coming home to roost, this fascism, because if you don't object to it in other places in the world, then you are on board with fascism. You know, so the prisoner situation is really dire inside the prison. And I'd like to mention that the whole October 7 objective was to take hostages to release Palestinian prisoners. And in essence, that operation succeeded. They released hundreds of Palestinian prisoners in exchange for these so-called hostages. But, you know, it's important to realize that it wasn't, the operation wasn't with aimless. And it's also important to emphasize that many of the hostages and the Palestinian fighters were killed by Israeli bullets and raids by their aeroplanes. It's called the Hannibal Doctrine, where they don't allow take hostages, although they succeeded to take over 200 after all the killing and the murder Israel did in implementing the Hannibal Doctrine. So this is the objective. And also it's worth noting that 80% of the population of Gaza is refugees from 48, and they're still waiting to go back to their homes, according to United Nations Resolution 194, that calls for the return of the Palestinian refugees to their towns and villages. Actually, this right of return was conditional, one of the two conditions put on Israel when it was accepted at the United Nations in 1949. It was a United Nations General Assembly Resolution 273. You Google it and see that these were conditions on them. And still, 78 years, and still the refugees are rotting in Gaza and everywhere surrounding Palestine.
Yeah, the idea of this gallows law, so-called, and Ramzi Baroud has an article up at the Palestine Chronicle, "The Gallows Law, Israel Moves Towards Executing Palestinian Children." It's not, as you mentioned, that, yes, Palestinians have been killed extrajudicially. They've been killed in custody. It's not like there was great respect for Palestinian life already. But there is something chilling about the codification of streamlining the route to the gallows, and many people would have seen Ben-Gvir, the minister responsible, and his coterie wearing these pins of a noose, like a golden hangman's noose, so reminiscent of what we saw in the United States during the lynching period in the South.
Yeah, that's true, and you know, it's worth noting that this law doesn't apply to the settlers, the ones, for example, who killed in cold blood the two brothers last month. It only applies to Palestinian. And even in South Africa, it's worth noting that such laws used to apply to both whites and blacks in general, although, you know, they were implemented mainly for blacks. But the Israel made it clear that it doesn't apply to Jewish terrorists or murderers, you know.
Well, it is called the terrorism law. It reinforces the idea that when a settler kills somebody, it's not terrorism. But when a Palestinian kills a settler or a soldier,
in defense of himself, yeah.
It's just all in a matter of semantics, really. But it's a semantics that defines everything about what Israel is, it seems.
Yeah, and they forget to mention that we are the victims of settler colonialism, the victims of the Nakba that happened in 1948, the victims of genocide that started in 1948. And when we defend ourselves, we are terrorists, and this applies to the U.S. and Canada and the Western allies of Israel also, which is ridiculous. But again, this is the kind of freedom they're promoting, the kind of democracy they are promoting in the West. Anything that serves their imperial interests, then it's okay. But anything against their imperial interests, you are a terrorist. And they used to call Mandela terrorist. He was on the terrorist list in the U.S. till 2008, for example.
The language is the, as Israel calls it, the death penalty for terrorists law. It allows people convicted and sentenced 90 days maximum before the penalty is carried out. They have limited rights of appeal commutation of the sentence. And as Ramzi Baroud points out, this formalizes execution as a tool of control, because, as you said, people imprisoned were subject to all manner of abuses and even death before this. But this becomes a way to terrorize the population further.
Yeah, I think it's intimidation and terrorizing the people and stopping the resistance that they never stopped all through Israel history. Because, you know, you can't really take people's homes and land and identity and national identity and expect to live in peace, you know. This never happened in the history. So, you know, they claim they brought the Jews from all over the world for a safe haven in Palestine. And now we see that Jews are safe everywhere in the world except in Palestine, because they are built on the skulls of the Palestinian people, and Palestinian people will never forgive or forget, you know, what happened to them. So they're resisting, and they'll continue to resist till we achieve victory. You can't run over us and claim, you know, you are a civilized nation, or you are part of the so-called, what they call it in the West here, the Judeo-Christian civilization, which is, you know, they forget that the Judeo-Christian civilization started in Palestine, not in the West, you know. It's ridiculous when they claim these two religions to themselves, because, you know, we are the guardians of the holy places and the first believers, you know, in Palestine. So to claim these two religious groupings is as ridiculous as claiming that, you know, Western Jews, the Ashkenazis, are Semites, which is ridiculous again, because these Western Jews, the Ashkenazis, never belonged to Palestine, never been in Palestine, then have no relationship with the Semitic people, the Hebrews, either. And this has been proven by DNA testing, you know. I mean, just search for it on the internet and you'll find it. If people want more information, I could send it to them. proving that these European Jews are nothing less than racist supremacists who wanted to build a settler colonial state in other places in the world. Mind you, they considered more than Palestine, they considered Uganda, they considered the Argentine even to mm-hmm. build their state. But they settled on Palestine because the so-called historic relationship with the land there.
Well, and people can get more information, too, about what you guys do at cpavancouver.org. That's the Canada-Palestine Association. Hannah, also, Owen Schock over at Canadian Dimension has an article up a week ago. As Israel eyes executions, Canada targets Palestine solidarity. Ottawa's actions at home contradict its criticism of Israel's death penalty law. You mentioned Sami Doon earlier. Sami Doon, and especially the Vancouver branch of Sami Doon, where the founder of one of the founders of Sami Doon herself was targeted. What was
and
it?
Arrested, arrested a couple of times.
At her house, you know, raided. You know, by in a military style. This all to. Well, I don't know, intimidate and terrify Canadians against supporting Palestinian solidarity.
Yeah, and again, we publicly condemned the listing of Sami Doon. You could go to our website and just search for Sami Doon, and you can see our statement about that. And since the October 7, there were many arrests, not just for Sami Doon. To the point where they forced us to have a defense fund. We established a defense fund, and we defended at least six or seven people in court, you know, using this fund to help us defend these people. And eventually, no real charge was laid against all these people. And the objective of that is to intimidate the supporters of Palestine not to go out on the streets and to make them fear the support for the Palestinian struggle, which is the objective of the state and the objective of the Zionist movement here in Canada, and the objective mainly in Israel. It's this policy is not made in Ottawa, it's made in Tel Aviv. And their cronies here, the fascist Zionist groups here, are the one who are pushing the government. I mean, it's documented, and we documented that on our website, that the Zionists called for listing Sami Doon two or three years before Sami Doon was listed as on the terrorist group. So if you want more details, just go to our website and search for Sami Doon, and you'd see the whole story and how Canada is not really a sovereign country. It's dictated by these Zionist groups who have tax-deductible status. All of their organization has tax-deductible status to further the settler colonialist project in Palestine, including in the West Bank.
Well, and it's Charlotte Cates. And Sami Doon itself. Now, the federal government has declared it a terrorist entity and dissolved it in acid or something. I'm not exactly sure, but they've declared that it's absolutely finished. Is there any?
They were registered as a an organization with the federal government. They just recently took it out of their registration away from them. But, you know, Sami Doon again started here in Vancouver, and it became an international group, you know, where have branches all over the world, including in the U.S. The U.S., by the way, the same day they listed Sami Doon as the Canadian government and listed another member of the community to be a terrorist in the U.S. at the same time, Khalid Barakat, for people who want their names. So it was coordinated with the U.S. and shows you how closely, you know. I remember one labor leader said previously, which applies in the case here. He said when Washington says jump to Canada, Canada says how high? You know, so this is the situation. It's when Israel says jump, Canada says how high?
Yeah, we used to say too, when somebody in Washington sneezes,